October 12, 2021. So watch for Pedro's show.
Sometimes I get down. Hey, then other times I get up. 'Cause I'm on the ground in the streets and my hands in my face. Yeah, the last time you came around, took me by surprise. When I found you, had me on the ground in the streets, in my hands, in my face. I don't know, wanna go, wanna feel your embrace. Other times I
can't give a fuck. 'Cause I'm on the ground in the streets and my hands in my face. I wanna know, I wanna go, wanna feel your embrace.
For Pedro Show, happy Tuesday. Started the show off with Nature Boy from the Both Directions at Work Once version. John Coltrane. Yeah, NPR. Somebody's having a story about the cat who actually was a role model for that tune, Rough Life. And then Susto after that, we get down. And we got to give big credit to Dylan Dickerson, Columbia, for making this connect. Because those Skype engineers from Estonia I got with me. Justin Osborne. Welcome aboard, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute. Really interested in your journey through music, so try to go back as far as you can. Bring me your earliest musical memory.
Well, I remember being, like, riding around listening to the radio and wanting to sing, you know? So, like, but also no one really wanted to hear me sing because I hadn't a very untrained voice, you know?
How old are we talking?
I mean, probably 7 or 8.
Okay.
I mean, as long as I can remember. I mean, as long as I can remember, I wanted to, like, anytime I saw people doing live music, like, out with my parents or whatever, like, I wanted to be doing it. I wanted to, like, I was just drawn to it.
Can you remember the first gig you saw?
I don't know if I remember the first one, but I remember some early ones. Like, my parents were, like, really big in the church, so we would go to these, like, Christian rock concerts, and I remember just being blown away and thinking, like, wow, this is rock and roll. But I would find out later it was just, like, kind of a fake rock and roll. But
a lot of things are mixed together, right? Because if you think about it, a lot of early rock and rollers, they learned how to sing in church.
Absolutely. And I'm grateful for that. So that was kind of, like, my first avenue into performing music. So, like, I remember seeing people play at restaurants and stuff and always just, you know, it's gigging really was all they were doing, but I was just, like, I was enamored by it and I loved it. And so when I was in my early teens, my granddad had passed away a few years before that, and he had left me and my brothers this little Yamaha parlor guitar, had, like, 3 strings on it. And when my parents would go out the house or something, or they'd go to run errands, I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm gonna stay home. And I would find that guitar because my parents hid it from us because they didn't want us to break it. But I would pick it. I knew where it was. I would pull it out and I would play with it as long as I could until I saw the car pull in the driveway and I'd rush and put it back up. And eventually I got caught and my parents weren't upset. They thought it was cool and they helped me get some strings on it. And then I just kind of started self-teaching. I had a couple lessons, I guess, probably when I was 13 or 14. But then I kind of started writing songs from the get-go. Like, I was learning songs that I wanted to learn, but also, like, I was really drawn to the idea of, like, taking whatever I was feeling in my life, even as, like, an early teen or a preteen even, like, and kind of unpacking that with a song. And at first I was just, like, you know, like, having crushes on girls and stuff like that. But it's evolved. And I started performing live, like, in my church youth groups and stuff. And then, like, I started a band in the 10th grade and would play people's birthday parties.
Well, let me ask you about school. Even before 10th grade and shit, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I was never in anything like that. Like, I always went to these little obscure private Christian schools, and I actually got kicked out of one of them in the 10th grade because I put my first album out. This, like, kind of, like, it was our best attempt at a punk band. It was called Killed in Action, and we had this song about the school we were going to, and we released the album over Christmas break. And then the first day I got back from Christmas break, they kicked me out.
So sorry about that. But that's pitching that you made a fucking album in 10th grade. Now, let me ask you about that.
It's not something I would share at this point in my life. But
No, but still, you got to start somewhere, right? Nobody gets on a skateboard and starts pulling ollies, right? I mean, you got to start, right? So, because I was going to ask you about afternoon after school. Like the bedroom band, the garage band, the basement band. So you started doing that with your buddies.
That was the the intro for me. And I was like, once I started like meeting other people who also were like trying to pick up guitar or drums or whatever, there was a handful of us just kind of gravitated towards each other. And
yeah,
we would go to either one of their houses or my house and just jam. And that was, you know, I think that's how a lot of people kind of get their start. And that was definitely the quintessential.
Well, I gotta tell you, me and D Boone, you know, we tried copying songs off records because that's what was going on in the 70s bullshit. But were you guys, it sounds like you were just jamming, so trying to, not just trying to copy songs, but.
Well, we were definitely trying to copy. I mean, we weren't proficient enough at instruments to really.
Yeah, neither were we.
So yeah. We were like, you know, we'd pick a few chords and say, okay, and then I'd try and write some lyrics over it. And then there was also a lot of us just covering songs that we liked at the time, too.
Yeah, but you said something about that things would come into your life and you would want to write a song about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was compelled to do that even before I was able to do it.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was what drew me. It was like the idea of writing songs and singing them, like, just, I was obsessed with it. And I still am, you know, I'm a lot further down the road at this point. But it was, I mean, I can't really remember not being drawn to it. Because I remember even before I thought that maybe it was something I could do, like, just myself being really affected by songs and, like, feeling like whenever I was feeling a lot of stuff, you know, I could turn to music and list as a listener, and that kind of quickly turned into me wanting to do it myself too.
Now, like with your dudes, right? You're jamming with after school in the afternoon. Did you see them as like, man, these guys could help me build the music behind my songs, or did you want to like make, you know, help them write their songs also?
It was both. I think it was definitely just very innocent and pure. So I was just happy to have friends, honestly, because there was a lot of points in my life where like I had moved from one city to the next and like didn't know a ton of people, and that was starting to play music was kind of how I started to make friends.
It would be the common ground, right, with cats that you wanted to hang out with. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me the first record you bought with your own money, Justin?
The first record I bought with my own money, I think, was this like single for, it was a CD single for this band called like Citizen Kane, or not Citizen Kane.
Citizen Cope?
No, not Citizen Cope. It was this other band.
You know him? Because I got to do some gigs with that cat. I mean, out on the.
I shared
the stage. I didn't play with him, but he was an interesting guy out of DC area.
Yeah, I've seen him live, and I'm definitely a fan, but this was something before that. It was like, they had this song, I've Seen Better Days, I've Been Stuck Many Places, and I can't remember exactly what
it was. Oh, yeah.
But I bought that single, and then I also was, like, getting into other stuff, too, but I remember that was the first time I, like, and it was a cheap one, because it was just a single. I liked the single.
Well, that's why I asked the question, because when you're a kid, man, you ain't got much money, so what you spend it on is pretty, and I'm just curious about it and stuff. So, now, this band that you guys make that made the album, what was your name?
Well, we were called Killed in Action, and it was kind of, but you know, it was pretty like hardcore name for like kids at Christian school. But yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what? Jesus got kind of killed in action too. So
exactly.
Too
yeah,
far
he did.
Away. But that's a trip. You know. Look. We like horror movies, and you know, some stuff is for pretending, right? We don't want it to be.
Right,
it's kind of just for the, maybe the thrill or some shit, right? They call them thrillers. You're not really wanting to act out on it, yeah.
Right, yeah, it was like, my granddad had been in World War II, and like, I was obsessed with his like scrapbook that he had as a POW, and there were all these like drawings in there that he and his friends had made like while they were POWs, because he was a POW in World War II for like, 18 months or something. And, I mean, he was passed away at this time, but that relic of his scrapbook was something that was really important in my life. It's something I still have to this day. And there was like this like one picture that was like a tribute to their like buddies that had died in combat. And we used that, even though it was not relevant to the songs at all, it was just like really, to me, it was like a really meaningful, powerful image, and also it had the words like "killed in action" or so. Like that was, it took it from that. And whether or not it didn't really fit.
No, it's Harry. You know where I remember that? When I was a boy, and the Vietnam War was happening, they'd have on the news, and it'd be KIA,
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, right. MIAs and all right. this kind of like statistics every day. And man, it seemed like we'd always have some, but like, you know, the other guy, man, it was like buttloads. And it was like, is this ever going to end? I mean, is this guy going to kill everybody? I that shit is intense. Look, you gave me this there music. Susto doing Life is Suffering.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
Yeah, go for it.
Show 'em who's boss with your smoker's call. Give it to 'em early in the morning. You smell like salt and cotton balls. In the high blue sun, the river runs wide and crooked at times, swells up with the hurricane rain. I don't mind, it doesn't happen all the time. I was born to bear a hurricane. I was born to bear a hurricane. They say you can't foresee the weather, but you can stand in the wind. You can thank the sky when the cotton grows high, curse the dirt when it's dead again. Curse the dirt when it's dead again. Life is suffering, but love and family make hard work in the hot sun okay when the day is done. Deep in the ocean, came back covered in the poor boy's blood, but nobody said a thing. You know his blood runs wild and crooked at times, swells up like the hurricane rain. I don't mind, it doesn't happen all the time. I was born to be a hurricane. I was born to be a hurricane. They say you can't foresee the weather, but you can stand. Curse the dirt when it's dead again. Curse the dirt when it's dead again. Life is suffering, but love and family make hard work in the hot sun okay when the day is done. Direction in the middle.
the intersection. And then he goes back in reading to where he began reading.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show, that chunk of music started off with Susto doing Life is Suffering. And then Guided by Voices, brand new Maintenance Man of the Haunted House. Speaking of thrillers. Somebody's got to clean up after the big scare, right? And Northern Jaw, brand new. This is Western Expansion, the Slight Meditation version. Victoria Shen, the next excerpt from her three-speed record. Yeah, she's like fucking glued like three records together and has all the stylus is going on. Gabby Wen after that, from her debut album, Breathe, is that tune. Graf out of Netherlands, Sally Whelan on the bass, Rustin Vreda, Fear. How Yes No with Strike out of Croatia, Kova Kusti Pish. Yeah, I keep forgetting how to say that. After, and then Boiling Points from SLWCC Watt, Bombas Prendon, Lo and Behold. And finally, Susto with Summertime. Probably not the one Janis Joplin did. Big Brother and Home Company. So how long does Killed in Action last?
It lasted about a year and a half, I guess. Not super long. I mean, it kind of transitioned into, like, another band after that. And then
Can you remember the first Susto gig?
Yeah, I do. So, like, Susto kind of became a thing for me in, like, 2013.
That's much later. Let's stick to Kill in Action. Can you remember the first Killed in Action game?
Yeah, it was at my friend's sister's birthday party, and we got a noise violation.
Oh, so kind of a success.
Yeah, I'd say that was a success for us. It all felt really, really cool and fun for us.
Yeah. Were you scared?
No, I mean, like, it was at my friend's house, so, like, we were playing on their, like, back porch for these, like, high school kids partying and stuff, like, and their parents just kind of handled it. We had to, like, raise the money to pay the violation by, like, you know, trying to sell CDs and stuff, but I mean, people helped us.
See, music, cool. It's all music, it's about music. Look, man, I remember, like, to me, like, playing for your friends was like Little League, where you have to, like, bat against your friend who's pitching.
Totally.
Total pants shitter for what?
Nerve-wracking.
So I always ask about that. Some people are born entertainers. You know, D. Boone, hard charger. But me, I just want to be with my friends. So using his courage, I kind of borrowed it a little bit.
It's good to have somebody you can borrow from.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very grateful for that, believe me. And his mom put me on base. Look, you said that Killed in Action transitions. Like, some of the members, like, of course, you, but some other cats, too, went on to make another band?
Yeah, we moved on to this band called the December Tragedy, which, like, sounds very much like an early 2000s band we were trying to be. We were naming ourselves after, like, a month, you know. It was kind of in vogue at that time. But, and we were still in high school. This is, like, that was probably in, like, Killed in Action was like the 10th grade. The December Tragedy was the 11th grade. And then in the 12th grade, I started this I kind of moved on from the group of guys I'd been playing with. And because when I got kicked out of school, I went to this new school and started meeting other people that played. So, like, sure. That was when I started this kind of like folk band called Sequoia Prep School. And I was in that band for 10 years. And
whoa.
We put out like four albums, did a lot. That was how I got my start with DIY touring and all that. And I did that up until like February of 2013.
Did you name the band? Justin Cass,
yeah,
have you named the band?
Yeah, I named.
Because you know Sequoias. You know Sequoias are the oldest living fucking organism on the planet. Man, those motherfuckers
right,
are over
yeah.
a thousand years. We call them redwoods, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're kind of by by San Francisco area and stuff.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to see them a couple times, but the interesting thing, the caveat is that we weren't actually naming the band after the trees. We were naming the band after the Native American Sequoia, who invented the Cherokee alphabet.
Absolutely.
And spells slightly different. There's an H at the end. But we were in American history class learning about him in the 12th grade, and we're like, oh, let's name our band Sequoia Prep School. And it was kind of like just an idea, and then we wrote some songs, put them on MySpace, and then we started kind of getting, like, some traction locally and kind of in-state, and we started, you know, playing shows. And for the first time in my life, people were showing up to shows and, like, singing the lyrics. And so that was kind of that band and being in that band was kind of the moment where I kind of got the music industry really got its claws in me, like in a good way, because I had that experience of connection with people, and after that there was probably not really any turning back, even though I did try to turn back at the end of that band, because I did a lot of kind of do it yourself, you know, trying to break the band, and it just didn't really get us anywhere. And so in my mid 20s, I kind of like decided to give up on it. I moved to Cuba for a little while, and then that's kind of where Susto got started, because I had already started writing some songs, but when I got down to Havana, I met people that were really encouraging me to like not give up on the music, just because I felt like I hit a wall with all my projects before that.
Yeah.
But you know, going and living in Havana for like 6 months was life changing for me, because it helped me get the confidence and helped me write more songs to like complete the first Susto album. So I kind of came back from that, released it in early 2014, and I've just been kind of going ever since.
Can I ask you, Justin, when you were in Cuba, did you get to play with Cuba musicians?
Yeah, I played the first, like, you're asking about the first Susto show, and like, technically the first Susto show wasn't in Cuba, it was in South Carolina, it was a solo show, but the first, within the first five shows of Susto, though, they were in Cuba. I was playing with some guys I met, and they kind of became the band for me down there. I had a guitar player, bass player, and a drummer, and I played guitar too, and my guitar player sang harmonies with me, and I still keep in contact with all those guys, and the guy who played guitar and sang with me, like, became a really close friend and is still an active songwriter with me, like, in Susto today. He's since immigrated to Mexico, and then actually just a couple weeks ago, he got to come to the U.S. for the first time in his entire life, so he came and he went on the road with us. We did some shows, and so that, you know, that founding of Susto there is something that's really stuck with me, because I'll always remember that time there. This is kind of like the moment when I fell in love with music for music's sake again. Because I think for a while I've been really caught up with the idea of trying to get a booking agent or a team or a label attention or something like that. And when I got to Havana, I just realized, you know what, like, I remembered why I started doing it in the first place, because I love music. And it was a chance for me to kind of like reclaim that and rediscover it.
Justin, what are gigs like playing down there?
Well, I don't know if I'm the best person to ask, because mine were all pretty thrown together. You know, they were like, two of them were private parties, and the other one was at like a socialist party meeting. And so they weren't, but I did go to a lot of shows, and they were fun. It was like, the energy is just really there. There's not a lot of pretense, and also the gear is kind of thrown together because it's Cuba. There's not a, you can barely even find picks and strings.
Right.
Yeah, but they were really fun.
What about the stuff with the conga and the tumba and the cajon and, you know, the percussion thing? Did you get to check that out?
There's obviously a really well-documented and celebrated tradition of Afro-Cuban music.
Sure.
And I was enamored by all that and loved it. But it wasn't really where my background was at, so I couldn't just jump in and play. I got to witness and be a spectator for a lot of really wonderful performances of that sort of thing. But what I kind of fell in love with is this style called trova music.
Trova.
And it's kind of like a cognate of our word troubadour.
Yeah.
So it's like a trovadore is like a singer songwriter.
Yeah, minstrel.
In Cuba. Yeah. And so I didn't speak Spanish very well, but my friends who were playing in the band with me would like take their time to like really translate the lyrics from some of their favorite trova songs and explain to me why they were so good. And I was there for it. You know, it like really opened me up to like thinking about how to be more honest and confessional, but also kind of lighthearted and just like, and even sometimes, you know, a little sexual. We need to be like in a lighthearted way. Like trova music was just really beautiful and rich in that way.
Yeah.
And even though there's like, you know, obviously an incredible singer-songwriter tradition in America as well. Like for me, I think like getting to like see the craft through the lens of like a different culture in a different place, like really helped me. Develop, you know, and I took a lot of those things, those lessons I was learning from those trova songs, started adding them into my songs too.
And even though I've never been there, you know, bass out of Latin America and Cuba especially, a big influence on me, big influence on my playing. You know, I gotta say Brazil too, but well, all Latin Absolutely. America really. But yeah, so one day, man, Cacho, that was his name. There was some great bass out of there. We're at the end of the first hour, October 12, 2021, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Justin Osborne. Hold tight for hour two! October 12, 2021. It's the second hour of the Lot for Pedro show.
Damage, make it damage, pass the tennis ball. I'm a consultant.
The rookie's coming on. He's admiring that rookie's coming on.
I'm on a one-way road to my home on high. Lord, when I die, I'll be heaven bound. Mourn not to see me go down that holy road. For when I'm gone, I'll make my peace be known. Darkened mind, and you'll know that the day has come when this life has run and a fading sun shines the way back home. Bound by time and space, you will fill this place, see me go, and we will gather again in the mountains with family and friends on another plane.
For Pedro show, start off the second hour. John Werks, Susto. Then Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Damage. Landowner out of England with Victim of Redlining. Howie Reeve, Dreams Are Dangerous, out of Glasgow. 99 Cents, Brother Tim's projects. Joker is the tune. Fire's Body, Slow Burn, No Wood. Only Now. That's the name of the project. Featuring Sheila Bringy. Then Susto with Diamonds Icaro. Pronounce that right?
Yes, okay. I believe so.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Now, so you say there's a Susto, obviously some of the guys couldn't come, right? Just the one guy you get to write songs with just recently. So, but there is a version of Susto here in the U.S., right?
Right, and that, I mean, when I, the kind of founding days in Cuba, that was, you know, that was 2013. So I came back and started trying to put a band together And the band has kind of evolved. It's kind of been a rotating cast of my friends and collaborators. Mostly all have been from where I live in Charleston, South Carolina. But you know, it's kind of evolved, like I said, over the years. But now we have we're a six piece, and most of us are from Charleston or living in Charleston. But one of our members, our favorite lady, Jordan Reynolds, Miss Rose Hotel. We call her Rose, but she lives in Atlanta. I've been fortunate to play with a lot of really incredible people, and people have kind of come in and out of the project and like left their mark. But you know, the great thing has been like people have come in and out, but it's always been on good terms. And I've always continued to kind of be able to collaborate with those folks, even like whenever, you know, they might go their own way to pursue a different project. But, that's the kind of the lineup's been fluid, and that's just kind of, how it's been kind of since the beginning. I mean, even in Cuba, it was just like,
yeah, let me ask you about, 'cause you recorded your first stuff with Susto in Cuba, right?
I had started recording it in Charleston, really. I'd recorded a few songs, and then I didn't really record anything from any Susto album in Cuba. I did record a solo album there with my buddy Camilo, who I was mentioning earlier, that was called Vampiros de La Habana. But that was not really under the umbrella of Susto.
But because I wanted to ask you about what's it like recording there, because everything's Econo, right? So I was wondering about the studios.
Yeah. Well, so like I said, I didn't do any Susto stuff, but I did record this kind of like solo record with Camilo, and we did it in a home studio. This guy who's like one of the most, this guy named Marco, and he was one of the most renowned guitar player, electric guitar players in Cuba. But he had this studio in a closet in his house, and the closet the house is like this old house with really tall ceilings. I mean, probably like 12 feet or something. So what he did was split the closet into two levels, and so he had the control room and the bass level, and there was like a couple of seats, and it was like, you know, really tight in there. Like there were three of us in there, and it was about all you could fit.
Yeah.
And above that, there was a platform he had built that was the tracking room, and I'd sit up there. But where that was like right exposed to all these like boiler pipes and stuff. And also when we're recording this, it's like Cuba in the spring and summer, so it's hot anyway.
Swelter,
I just remember getting up there and it being like seriously like a sauna. come down from doing a take.
Yeah.
You come down the little ladder and you're just, all your clothes and everything are just soaked.
Sopping,
the guitars had sweat all over them, you know. But that's the only recording experience I really had. I know there are, you know, legitimate studios in Cuba that people work in, but usually to have access to that, you're going to have to be like
top tier
of Cuban musicians.
Yeah. And so what about Charleston?
Yeah, so in Charleston, we've kind of taken a DIY approach mostly. I mean, our first two albums were recorded in a storage unit. And, you know, we had a mutual friend of Dylan Dickerson. Dylan's also worked there. It's a buddy of mine, Wolfgang Zimmerman, is the guy who was engineered and produced all my records. And the first two he engineered produced. The third one was the first time we got signed to a label, and we actually got to go up to Asheville, North Carolina, and work in this cool studio called Echo Mountain. But then, kind of over the last 2 years, like Wolfgang has, you know, his career has progressed as well, and he finally got his own home studio, and that's where we recorded my most recent album that's going to come out later this month, and that's Time in the Sun. And we recorded it at his studio called The Space, but it's still got that DIY vibe. It's like, you know, we've been working together since before he even had the storage unit, when we were recording in bedrooms and stuff. And so like to have come this far and still be collaborating together is a really special bond and relationship. And so I pretty much exclusively work at his studio when I'm in Charleston. But there are some other great studios around that I like to go in. Sometimes I'll go collaborate with other people in. And you know, Charleston isn't like known to be a big music city, but I think anyone who has spent time there would know that there is a robust and really alive music scene.
Oh, I know, I know. Yeah. I've always dug playing there. I think the first, I think it was Music Farm, the first pet, you know, one of the music farms. There was three or four.
Right, but there's been iterations of music.
Right. And I could tell you some stuff about people like Woody, you know, and The Wave. I don't know how far back you go in Charleston. Okay, you know about that shit? And Miskin's downtown and shit. It was like a sports bar. It's the only place to play for a while. Look, you gave me this Ever Since I Lost My Mind. I want to play that.
Okay.
Since I lost my mind, things haven't been quite the same. I used to steal all the goddamn time. You were always remembering names. But out on the highway, I don't know where. If you go in my way, brother, can I hop on?
since I moved away. But finding myself wondering why. I really can't help but say, I haven't seen your face in a while. We'll head out on the highway for a couple of weeks of shows. If you go on my way, brother, can you help my love? Ever since I lost my mind, things haven't been quite the same. I used to see you all the goddamn time. You were always remembering names. About all
For Pedro Show, yeah, that's Susto with Ever Since I Lost My Mind. Then some stuff, Randolph Cotter sent me some stuff from Eugene up in Oregon. This is My Daddy Ate My Eyes. C is for Catharsis. Stowe Carter Project, Witchy Taito. Yeah, Beyond Watt. Love Bounded by Water with the Narrow Footbridge Over the Abyss. That's a good title. And Mocha Doma, I think out of Ukraine. Utonut. And then finally, Susto, Hard Drugs. Oh boy, that's scary. So, do you carry a little notebook of your lyrics? Or do you write your words for songs on demand?
I have a notebook in case I need to write something down. Sometimes my brain needs that just if I'm trying to really hone in on what the lyrics need to be. But a lot of it I do in my head, and a lot of it does come kind of off the cuff. Either when I'm writing a song by myself or if we're in the studio and I'm working on something with somebody else, I just kind of like to write in the moment and not overthink it, because I feel like if I overthink it, then I'm cutting off the ether, I have to
Absolutely. Can I ask you, do you make demos?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I make demos on my own, and even sometimes, I'll make a bunch of demos in a studio setting before I go in and try and, hit it with the band and everything. But the usual process for me is making a demo on a voice recording and then going into the studio and just kind of slowly or quickly kind of building it up from the bottom, kind of sharing the song with Wolfie and then bringing in whoever we need to play on it. And in the studio, it's kind of a rotating cast as well. I mean, it's not always the same people live as it is in the studio. Usually everyone in the live band has some sort of role to play in the studio, but because Wolfie is a drummer and I'm used to having that dynamic, he typically plays the drums on the records. My live drummer, Marshall, who's also a great pianist, will come in and play a lot of keys, and he also does all of our album artwork and stuff like that. So everyone has different roles at different, at different moments for the band, but I'm fortunate they're all open to that kind of fluidity, because it takes a lot of the pressure off to always do things the same way,
Yeah, of course. And the Wolfman, kind of co-producer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely more co-producing but it's always really kind of been co-producing. He has always known more about the engineering, and obviously he's a drummer and the mixing stuff. But then, I've always kind of been the one producing my own vocals and kind of together we kind of dictate what everybody else does a little bit and try and facilitate just to get, good takes out of everybody, because we get a lot of talented folks in there. I would say co-producers is a pretty accurate way to describe our relationship.
And you mentioned about playing on other people. So when you do music, you're not always the shot caller. Sometimes you help other people realize their music vision.
Yeah, that's something, it's been really more of a recent thing, because I've just been so focused on the band in the past and also touring a lot that I haven't really been available to work on other projects with other people. And also I wasn't really getting invited a lot, but now that's changing. I think I'm not a ripping guitar player or keys player or anything like that. I mean, I can go play some rhythm for you if you need me to, but the lyrics and the melody and stuff is something that I've really focused on trying to be better at every day. And so it's kind of in that realm that I get calls now. It's hey, you want to come in and help me finish this song and then maybe sing on it or, help produce it. So it's, those are the places where I feel comfortable helping out. And that's kind of where I'm finding myself getting to help out. And it's so fun because it takes, there's a lot of pressure, not a lot of pressure. I mean, it's still fun, but the Susto stuff is a lot of it's about narrative, having a consistent narrative.
You got to own it, right? You got to own it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So
that pressure's off whenever, it's somebody else. It's
right. There's pressure. There's another kind of pressure though, right? You want to do good for them.
Yeah, I absolutely want to do good. And I always bring my A game to those things, but it's also if they, it's up to them to decide whether or not.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like.
Yeah.
If I work on a song with somebody and they're like, you know what, I don't think that was going to make the record. It doesn't bother me. I get it because, you know, I've been in their shoes too. So.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's how you get real empathy. That's what Trading Places is about, I think. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, October 12th, 2021. Dish Watch Beatles, your special guest, Justin Osborne. Hold tight for hour three. October 12th, 2021, third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
of mine at the time says he's moving to Los Angeles. He can't go out in town without these people start to panic.
Beaver, she'll start off the third hour. Far Out Feeling, Susto. And Babes New York City. Still think the worst band name ever, but I like their songs. Old Gum. That's a title. When your titles come last?
It's not always the same.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I got a fire truck going by me. I didn't hear that. But
that's okay.
Sometimes, like, I mean, I write a lot without really thinking about it, like I said. So I'll just, like, kind of, like, start find a groove I like that I'm playing and then just sing over that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll just pull the title out of whatever lyrics I've kind of, like, come up with off the top of my head.
Or chorus.
And then there's other times where like, I'll know that I really want to write a song with a certain title that says a certain thing. And so, you know, that's – I kind of take it in different ways. I try to, you know, have fun with it and mix it up and not be afraid to kind of – you know, have a different experience with a new song, you know?
Yeah, I have to do it that second way. I have to come up with the title first so I don't have any focus. But, like, hardly anybody has does that. There was somebody a couple episodes ago. But, yeah. Then we had a Come Back to Bali from ID De Femel. Tolum at Residence and his big journey playing everywhere he can. I think they just sold the van, so they don't have a pad or a van. Him and his wife, I think they're doing gigs via train now. Safe seas, Brother Tom. Disputing tones with membranes and ossicles. James Twig Harper and Rubber O. Cement. Then Homeboy, Sisto. Ig had a song called Homeboy that Scotty told me that came out of a jam that they did. One of those solo records he did in the 90s, 80s. So, the Sisto album songs that you gave me for this show, are they? They're not all from the same record, are they?
No, they're all from. Well, I didn't really give you any from my first album, which we still play a lot of those songs, but it was really like an access thing. I didn't have access to the files, but some of the songs you played are from my second album, And I'm Fine Today. And then a few are from my third album, Ever Since I Lost My Mind. And then there is a couple or two that that I gave you from my upcoming album, Time in the Sun, which is going to come out later this month. And
let's talk about that one then. Now, cool. this baby probably was recorded, it's during the situation, right, with the COVID-19. And so,
yeah,
are a lot of the songs, were they written before the situation or during?
Well, so the songwriting for that like started with one or two of them like as far back as like late 2018, and then we started actually recording in like 2020 in January, and then the recording lasted until like May of this year, 2021. So obviously, right after we started recording, the whole COVID situation hit, but also like in the middle of 2019, I had become a dad. So I had my daughter was born, and I was like kind of like having all these contemplations about life and what that meant. And so not that it was going to be a record all about that, but that was kind of what was influencing me to write.
You started writing some songs about your little girl, right?
Yeah. Well, just to her, for her, like just about myself and life, just trying to communicate in part. Knowledge. I don't know why we feel compelled to do that.
In your life, Justin, a sea change.
Yeah. So
you brought in a new shipmate. Change. You brought a new shipmate aboard.
Yeah, and she's the best, Like, but the thing, the kind of other side of the coin with the record was like, so about midway through it, I lost my own dad.
Sorry.
All of a sudden, I found myself stuck between, not stuck, but just found myself in between birth and death.
Big fucking bookends that we all share as human beings.
And I was about like 33, I'm 34 now, so I was like 33 when a lot of this stuff was going on. And
man, I was 34 when I lost my pop, about the same.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shoot you.
Yeah. So my dad was about that age when I was born. And then my daughter was just being born. So I really felt like I was right in the middle of, like you said, the two bookends. And so the album started to shift from being just about like new life and birth to being more about like everything in between those two bookends. And also the ultimate bookend of of death. And so, I mean, that's the Time in the Sun is kind of like just a metaphor for life, I guess, because it started just really hitting me. It's like, well, we're just sitting here doing laps around the sun, and we're trying to get as many as we can, And so it's not like necessarily a concept album, but it's definitely influenced by the themes of life and death that I was experiencing in a very visceral way.
Yeah, big time. Look, you gave me this tune, If I Was.
Yeah.
Is this from this period?
That's actually from my third album, but it's one of my favorite tunes we have.
That's what I mean. You mean this new one's your fourth album?
This new one is my fourth album.
Okay. Understood. So this is the album before.
if I was a teacher. I spend all my days in school teaching children how to solve problems, teaching them how to play it cool and follow the rules. You better stay in school. If I was a writer, I'd try suck you all in, put out some real page turners that you never ever wanna put down again. I'll suck you in, let me win. But I am just a singer with electric guitar in my problems, trying to do the best that I can, the best I can. And I'm your man. So come on, be my lover. I promise to treat you right.
such a beautiful view. We had to move on. We were walking through the night.
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Susto with If I Was, then from Mafia's brand new record, I think Cincinnati, Becoming a Nun, Bad Blood August out of Hamburg, Bleeding Hearts, Germany, huh? Ration, this is a buddy of Larry up in Oregon, but I don't know where Ray is. This Watch Blows Cool Air. That's a trippy title. Overall, from Glasgow, Drawing the Line. And finally, Susto, Mountaintop. So, what's the plan now? We'll get the record out, right?
Yeah, well, we're getting it out. I mean, things are still a little weird with shows, but
yeah,
you know,
of course.
The calendar's starting to fill up. And
yep,
I mean,
yep.
Essentially, the plan is to spend the next 18 months, 2 years, traveling and playing the songs, and
yeah.
And that's, you know, that's like, you know, it's like the recording process is one side of it, but then like once that album comes out, you hit the other side of it, which is the performing it live.
Yeah,
and, I'm excited for that. You know, I'm excited to finally get out and share these songs, and we started to a little bit already, but the band's feeling really good, and you know, we got a great team behind us right now, so we're excited. It's gonna be. I mean, and also we've been off the road essentially for a couple of years, and we've been playing here and there in the last few months, but I'm just excited to do what I love again, you know, and travel around and check in with everybody. And all this.
Now, here's the trippy thing about also getting a record recorded. Wow, that's all done. Then are you the kind of guy that's like, well, I got to start thinking about recording the next one?
Totally. I mean, I'm on my way up to Asheville now to start recording. So, like,
So you are working on the next one even though you ain't been on the road with this. Okay.
I'm working on number 5 already. I really started working on it before the other one was even finished because we went down to Mexico at the beginning of this year to get some, to give my buddy Camilo from Cuba a chance to sing background vocals and stuff on the record.
Yeah.
And while we were down there, we started writing more songs. So I started writing for my next album, you know, in January with Camilo in Cuba. And so I never like to stop too long. It's like, you know, and it's not like I really can, like songwriting is a part of my identity and it's what I do and what I breathe. So, there's always overlap because like I never really take a pause from it.
Well, can I ask you this, Justin? Have you ever had writer block?
I have. Yeah, and sometimes...
Ain't that a fucking nightmare? Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck's this about? This is what I do.
Yeah, it's a bummer, you know?
Well, tell me some technique you got to overcome that shit.
I don't know if I have technique. I mean, I think one thing always helps is, like, if I'm working on one project, usually I need to, like, get that wrapped up. Not necessarily released, but, like, you know, mastered and done and put a stamp on it. Before I can free up space in my head. That's not always the case, but sometimes that helps.
So don't leave dangling strings.
Right. Yeah. And another thing that I I think just like initiating some sort of change in my life really helps. And I try to do that in as responsible a way as I can.
Dynamic, big dynamic. Okay. That sounds like good stuff. Look, when you get number five done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to
that. Oh, man. Thank you so much. Big honor to have you. Safe seas on this tour and stuff. And good luck on your way to Asheville right now with some recording. Truly. People, it's been the October 12th, 2021 edition of the WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.